Sometimes it's our own family members who hurt us. Sometimes it's our own family members who are hardest to forgive. Sometimes parents make mistakes and hurt their children. And sometimes siblings hurt one another. Jacob was a good man. He loved God. He was also a very competitive man, which served him well. He did very well in life, but it wasn't always easy to be related to Jacob. Jacob traveled far from home and fell in love with a girl named Rachel. Her father was really, really tough, and he made Jacob work on his farm for 7 years before Jacob could marry his daughter Rachel. But on the wedding night, this father, who wasn't the best of parents, snuck the older sister into the tent in place of Rachel. So Jacob, I guess he was kind of excited because he didn't seem to notice, ended up marrying Leah. And Leah was evidently not a looker. Then Jacob had to work another 7 years in order to finally marry Rachel. Meanwhile, Leah, who may not have been very pretty, was very good at having boys. So Jacob had many sons, but in his focus on his love of Rachel, he kept wanting a son with her. Can you imagine what that felt like for his sons when their father was praying for a son with another woman? When he acted as if he really didn't have good children when he had these beautiful boys right in front of him? You can imagine how much it hurt them not to be fully loved by their father. When Jacob married Rachel, she had trouble having a child, so he struggled more and vocalized it to his sons how much he wished she would have a child, and they grew in their pain and resentment. And when finally Rachel had a son, Joseph, Jacob adored that boy and played favorites. He didn't really think about it. He spoiled the boy, gave him things that none of the other brothers had, and the resentment increased. And Jacob was carefree. He didn't notice how much he was hated by his older brothers because he was such a happy boy. He was given a beautiful coat by his father with many colors. And of course, his brothers resented him more. Now, some kind of sibling rivalry is normal. A lot of older brothers and sisters want to sort of quietly get rid of their sibling. The parents have to watch this. I mean, when I was two, my parents tell me that when they brought home my baby brother, evidently the first thing I told them was that they could take him back to the hospital now. And then the next day I said that we could flush him down the toilet. I was just two. So some kind of sibling rivalry is normal, but this was getting out of hand. And when Joseph came to his brothers and said to them, "Guess what? I had a dream," because he had these wonderful visionary dreams. "I had a dream that you all were going to kneel before me and serve me." Well, guess how that went over? The brothers took Joseph out into the desert and they wanted to kill him. Now, luckily, one of the brothers, Reuben, was sensible. And he counseled his brothers and said, "No, let's not kill him. let's just dig a hole and stick him in it. So they dug a pit, put the boy Joseph in the pit, and as they were going to leave, they saw some slave traders going by, and they said, oh, we could make some money too. Let's sell him as a slave. So they sold the boy into slavery, and they took some blood from a goat and put it on the coat of many colors and brought it to their dad, saying, oh, Dad, it's terrible. Joseph died. They thought that if Joseph was gone, they could take his place in their father's heart. But what they realized is that it didn't work that way. Their father started to suffer and grieve, and they had to watch him in agony. Now, the book of Genesis goes with Joseph as he has this miraculous journey from slavery all the way up to being the right hand of Pharaoh. But what I want you to think about is, all during those years, what were Joseph's older brothers going through? Can you imagine the regret at what they had done as they watched their father suffer? They loved their father, and he did love them, however inadequately. So they watched their father suffer, and they wanted to ask his forgiveness. They wanted to tell the truth, but they were afraid. So they held on to the secret. And then, of course, they couldn't forgive themselves for the pain that they had caused their father. In this Bible passage that we heard this morning, Jacob and his sons are beginning to starve, so they go down to Egypt to beg for food. And the brothers come and encounter Joseph, but they don't recognize him. He was just a boy when they sent him off to be a slave, but Joseph recognizes them. And at first, he cannot forgive them. He punishes them, he frames them for a crime, and he takes the only other son of his mother, Rachel, takes him, kidnaps him, and sends his brothers back to Jacob. But then Joseph prays, and he realizes that God wants him to forgive. And so the second time, when his brothers come to him to beg, he reveals who he really is. And in this beautiful scene that we heard, his brothers are so shocked that they cannot even speak. They cannot believe that this is Joseph. They thought he was dead. They thought they would never be forgiven. And Joseph says to his brothers, forgive yourselves. It's all right now. God had a plan, and I was supposed to endure all of this so that I could save you and our father. And they cry. And only after they've cried quite a lot do the brothers begin to talk to Joseph. When I go to the bedside of someone who we know is going to die soon, sooner rather than later, one of the things that I always ask is, have you forgiven? Are there people that you need to forgive? Because if we haven't forgiven someone, we carry it with us like a rock on our shoulder. And it can cripple us and hold us down. Especially when we're dying, it can hold us and prevent us from going to God. It's a kind of bondage when you haven't forgiven. I remember when I was a teenager, we lived across the street from an old Jewish woman. Joanna was her name. She was estranged from her son, and they hadn't spoken for about 5 years, and she was furious at him. Sometimes she would hire me to carry her groceries up the stairs to her apartment, and she would go into ranting and raving about her son. My son should be doing this for me, and rah, 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 rah. She got very sick and started to die and was on hospice care, so my dad called her son and just told him, "You better get in here. I know you're not getting along, but she's dying. Forget about it. Just show up." I'll never forget being in that room when the son came in. Joe was lying in bed. She saw him come in, and she burst into tears and said, "I'm so angry at you." And he said, "I'm angry at you, Mom." And then they both just started to cry. And she said, "Thank you for coming." She died the next day. She was waiting to forgive. Jesus not only instructs us that we have to learn to forgive each other, he also goes further. He says that you need to love your enemies. It sounds impossible, but let me make one thing really clear. Love is not a feeling. Jesus is not telling you that you should have warm, fuzzy feelings for someone who mistreated you. It is also not condoning bad behavior. Love doesn't condone bad behavior. When you get in a dispute with another person, it's as if you're holding a rope between you, and they pull, and then you pull back, and they pull, and you pull back, and they say something mean, so you say something mean, and they hit you, so you hit them, and it goes on and on and on. And what Jesus is saying is drop the rope. Your behavior should never be dependent or reactive on the behavior of others. You behave as if Jesus is sitting right beside you. No matter what happens, you act in love. No matter what happens, drop the rope. You don't have to pick it up again. I read a novel about a teenage boy who had grown up in a very abusive family. His father beat him regularly. This boy naturally grew up a fighter. By the time he was a teenager, he had already committed some petty crimes and had beaten a boy so badly that the boy had some brain damage. So he was thrown in jail. This was up in northern Michigan, where they had a Native American community, and they decided to try a different kind of justice with this boy. They called it circle justice in the Native American community there. They met with the boy, they met with the boy's mother and even the father, and they learned the truth about his whole life. They decided to send this boy to an island, a deserted island, with one Native American man. And every day, the Native American man made him do manual labor. But first thing in the morning, every morning, he made this boy carry a huge rock up a hill. And every morning, the boy would say, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I don't know why I have to do this." And he would swear, and he would say, "I don't want to do this." And the man would calmly say, "You have a choice. You can do this or you can go to prison." After months of carrying this rock every day up the hill, then dropping it and letting it roll down the hill, the boy finally asked a question. "Why am I doing this?" The man said, "I will stop asking you to carry this rock up the hill when you stop carrying the rock of all your anger and resentment. When you decide to drop your rock, I'll let you drop this one." When someone hurts us, we take on a lot of pain naturally. And the process of forgiveness takes work, because that pain and resentment does grow heavy. and it can cripple your whole life. You'll carry it around with you like some heavy boulder, and it'll cause you to act in ways that you shouldn't. It'll even cause you to see things in ways that are not true because you're so crippled by it, and it distorts your perspective on everything. Dropping the rock and learning to forgive is something that you often have to do almost every day. You'll forgive one day and wake up the next and you'll have picked it up again. It's a practice. Love is a practice. It is something that you do. It is not something that you feel. And sometimes the hardest person for us to forgive is ourselves. Sometimes people will come to me for confession, and the person that they're mistreating is their own self. They beat themselves up for whatever they did back when. The divorce that happened, or the fact that they mistreated a child, or drank too much, or whatever they did, it just weighs on them, and they cannot let it go. But you shouldn't wait, and I shouldn't wait until we're about to die to let this stuff go, to drop the rock. Because God wants you to be free. And when you're free, as Jesus said, you're children of the Most High, and you bring about the kingdom of God right here, right now. But we cannot do God's work if we're burdened with boulders of resentment and anger and frustration. We've got to learn to drop the rock. God wants us to be free. God wants us all to be free, like Joseph and his brothers finally were, holding each other and crying in such relief and such joy. But there's too much love in the world to waste our lives away worrying and obsessing about things we did wrong or things other people did to us. Life is too precious. Don't waste it carrying burdens around. Just drop the rock. Amen.